posing to somebody else and using that platform. And in that case, the personal insurance will deny the claim. And since the platform was misused, so will Uber. So because of a potential action the city could take, we could have people in accidents, harming pedestrians, harming other vehicles, taking someone's life, and no insurance coverage to compensate that. I think in the case of someone losing their life, a $100,000 limit plus $200 of excess liability coverage is not enough to compensate this little girl's family for her life and reconstructive surgery on her mom's face from that incident in San Francisco.
Okay. Let me ask you to stop there because you've gone a couple minutes over your time. Thank you. Thanks. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. My name is Jeanette Thiebert. Yes, I'm a taxi driver. Local governments in more than 20 cities have enabled and removed regulations on fares, licensing, accessibility requirements, and these cities include Atlanta, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Kansas City, Phoenix, San Diego, Oakland, Seattle, and yes, our fair Portland. However, deregulation in these cities have proven over again for many deregulation in these cities proved to be a failure for many reasons. And in just a matter of years, almost every city re-regulated taxi market because, just a few of the reasons, prices increased, vehicle quality decreased, average age of the vehicle increased, fares became confusing and unpredictable for passengers. Accidents increased due to an increase of inexperienced and sometimes untrained drivers. Traffic density and increased due to an influx of cars and more cars on the road and more cruising activity. Even air quality decreased. We have the data. We did this in the mid-90s. If you want to know exactly the time frame, I would be happy to put you in touch with people who were involved in that decision. Mayor Hills, I think you had it right. We need to measure twice and cut once. We've only measured once. This is not the time.
Thank you very
much. I will
much.
Provide for you. This is my driver permit. On the corner, there is my driver number. That is on record. That is affiliated with my tax history for the last, I don't want to tell you how many years, it's more than 10. And you have my permission on record to look, and I've declared everything.
Thank you. Thanks very much. We have a tradition here of calling people with disabilities, and we haven't done that. So I want to do that next instead of going to the sign-up sheet.
So I just have one brief point that I forgot to mention.
Quickly.
Okay. I think if we're going to go towards deregulation like Mr. Novick is in strong support of and you seem in the air about, you know, for a number of reasons, for the sake of the existing drivers that want to be able to make a living or have time to transition to something else if this isn't going to be, if they're priced out of this. And also for the sake of safety, I think we should do that gradually. The reason is, with 500, now 750 licensed cabs in the city of Portland, we've never seen what's Uber and Lyft's estimate? Like 1,000 to 2,000 people wanting to drive for them. And Friday, Saturday night, there's going to be a lot. You might have 1,000 almost brand new semi-professional drivers out on the streets cruising the Pearl and Northwest. The first 6 months driving as a cab driver, I've only been in a year, and it's a really difficult time. You have loud drunk people in your trunk telling you to turn halfway through the intersection.
Your trunk?
It's hard. There's a lot of distraction, and you don't want that many brand new drivers flooding the streets all at once. This needs to be more of a gradual thing. Also, I couldn't rent a car until I was 25. Radio wouldn't hire me if I was under 25. I was 30-something when I applied. But I think having that many brand-new drivers, also the increased risk of drivers under the age of 25.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the extra time, sir.
You bet. So, again, we have a tradition here of calling people with disabilities, regardless of whether you're in favor or against what's in front of us. So if there's anybody here that would like to take that privilege, please come forward. Okay.
No, Mr. Somebody. Is Mr. Wolf here?
Take one leg back. Drugs in my trunk? Cool. I'm in the passenger seat.
We knew. We knew you didn't put them in the trunk.
No, I didn't.
They might have deserved to be in the
That's
trunk.
That's what Ubers do to guide dogs.
Stop it.
Yeah. So I've heard.
There you go. Oh, cool. Got it? Yeah. All right. I'm going to turn you forward. Okay.
Thanks.
Here's the microphone.
Okay.
And then we'll put your hand Lexan. Down on the table,
okay.
And you're good to
Very
go.
Very good.
And you're good to go. Welcome.
Okay. I guess it's on.
Just
so.
Give us your name and then okay. proceed. Thanks for
Thank
coming.
Thank you. Okay. My name is Tony Seth, a local taxpaying disabled person. I would be probably one of the most shocked people if someone would have told me that I could actually do my own transaction in a cab and know exactly what my fare is and, by gosh, how much I want to tip the driver, if they even deserve one. I couldn't do that for many years, and I've been here since 88. I can do that now thanks to Radio Cab. Give you guys yourselves a hand, because you are the only cab company that I know about, now I could be wrong, that provide a completely accessible terminal that I can use anytime I want, and it will work.
Right.
And I don't know that even other local cab companies, maybe they have that or not, but I'm pretty sure that Uber doesn't, and I don't think they really care. And whether they do or not, just knowing their track record as I do, from what I've heard, and, you know, I kind of like knowing that just because I cannot see the person's registration, business, you know, information that needs to be displayed for a sighted person, I don't have that luxury. And I don't think a lot of the other blind people who work and pay taxes and, you know, do what we do, just the same as you, we can't just walk to the nearest gas station like that other person admitted that, you know, maybe they can do that. That's great. When our driver shows up, we want to know that. In fact, we shouldn't even have to wonder if they have killed someone. And you know what? I don't. Thank you, Radio Cab, for that. And believe me. And I wasn't even paid to say this. So $40 million, none of it's mine.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks. We appreciate you coming. Ma'am, you're next. Welcome.
Excuse me, were you referring to me?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry, I couldn't see if there was another woman on
yes,
the panel.
Yes, you are. You are the one and only, so please.
My apologies. Mr. Mayor.
And just give us your name, please.
City Council members, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Shuri Heppy. I work and commute to Portland, I take taxi sometimes. And blind people use conventional taxis, but often experience discrimination in the form of ride refusal when accompanied by dog guides. Without knowing the actual meter charge, blind riders may encounter enhanced taxi fares through the use of smartphone apps. Companies such as Uber lets blind people check car arrival times, verify fares, and invoke a clearly defined resolution process. Since blind people need transport and cannot drive, the Uber rideshare option offers usable transport for blind people and others in the community. And I was not paid to say this either. Thank you for this opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming. Thank you. Good evening.
My name is Dan Payton. I'm a potential driver for Lyft and also a passenger. I would say, what do we have right now? I feel like we need more options and more competition. I feel like this country is founded on the free marketplace and letting people compete for what's the best service. Right now, if I need to catch a taxi, I have to call a couple days in advance. Sometimes the availability is not there. I'm usually told on the phone, hey, you know, give us a couple hour window before or after. you know, try and be as flexible as you can. And sometimes they can't show up. Other companies I've dealt with, you can see the ground through the floor. The equipment isn't safe. And honestly, I want more options, essentially, and the ability on an individual driver basis to be able to know what other people have said about this driver and their equipment. It'd be very handy for me, you know, coming back from surgeries and maybe not being completely coherent, being able to say, hey, look, this person's given 50 different rides. Everyone says, hey, this person's cool, as opposed to getting into a vehicle with someone that I have no idea exactly what the deal is. But I feel like having more options will reduce wait times, help out with reliability. And honestly, our public transit system, buses pass me up many times because they're crowded. There physically isn't room. 5 or 6 people would have to get off for me to get on. And the TriMet Lift program basically told me when I'm in my power chair, I can't use their system because my combined weight with my chair and me is too heavy. So I feel like I'm kind of excluded from many of the transportation options that are out there, and I would really like to see many more available. There's a lot of things that probably need to be hammered out and worked out, but I encourage you guys to think about, you know, the passengers and, you know, what will help benefit us.
Thank you. Thanks very much for coming. Appreciate it. Okay, anyone else that would like to claim that privilege and come on up now early? And if not, then let's go back to the sign-up sheet, please.
The next three are Ashton Root, Cynthia Smith, and David Binning. And they will be followed by Stephen Lovejoy, Noah Ernst, I believe is the last name, and Erica Jones.
Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Ashton Root, and I just urge a yes vote on going through with this 120-day trial period. A specific thing that I wanted to point out that it was my personal experience just over the last few days, I wanted to sign up for Lyft, and so I went to their website. They immediately texted me that said, come on into our office, very nice and prompt, right with my through texting. And I have an awesome car. It's a 2003 Ford Fusion Hybrid that had everything right with it, except for when I got to the vehicle inspection area, the vehicle inspector provided by Lyft came out and said, nope, you know what? I'm going to put you down for fail because your front tires need to be changed. And I was told just last week during an oil change that I probably had 2,000 miles left on them. So I tried to talk to the guy and say, come on, just give me a pass here and I'll get them changed. He said, no, that's not the way we work here at Lyft. Go get new tires and come back in. So I did that, went to good old Les Schwab, went in today, and I got my passing grade. So they are very stringent upon their vehicle safety. And then after that, I was sent this text that simply said, get your license as soon as possible and forward the confirmation email to portlanduser@lyft.com. So Lyft is really being stringent with the potential drivers there. I applaud them, and they're obviously want to work with the city. So I hope you guys do that and approve this 120-day trial period.
Thank you.
Sir, did you say your vehicle is 2003?
2013.
And did you know that, does your private insurance cover you if you're a commercial driver?
I did call State Farm, and they said that, yes, they would cover me if I got in an accident within a Lyft drive.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Cynthia, and I'm a potential Lyft driver. I have been approved, and I'm a resident of Vancouver, and we're also not operating there until this goes through. I can identify a good opportunity when I see it, and I believe this will be a great thing for our community. I believe that having Lyft drivers is going to free up a lot of parking and a lot of traffic. I know that they don't agree with this, but in my experience, if people get rides with Lyft, they won't need to drive their own cars, and that'll be freeing up a lot of parking. I personally just paid upwards of $11 to come to this meeting. In addition, I wanted to get a ride from a taxi here to come so I didn't have to pay for parking. It was upwards of $80 to come. I can't afford that. So I ended up parking and paying for my parking, and I just would really be interested in seeing this go through and starting working with this, and I really hope that you guys agree. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is David Binning, and I'm not affiliated with anyone here. I'm a bartender. But I'm here because I think Portland's transportation system is a civic embarrassment. I've worked here as a bartender for 10 years. And I used to call cabs for customers or try to call cabs for customers. I can't do that because I'll spend 5 minutes on the phone on hold while I'm trying to do my job. Dispatcher will hang up without giving an arrival time. And half an hour later, the customer will come back to me and say, why don't we have a cab yet? This is bad for individuals. It's bad for locals, obviously. It's bad for travelers. It's especially bad for people who don't own cars. It's bad as well for workers, for people like me who lose income because of this. It's bad for small businesses who lose income because people can't get to their business to spend money or can't leave once they've spent money. Finally, it's bad for the city because it does encourage drunk driving. Friends of mine drive drunk because they know that at 2 in the morning the buses aren't running and they can't rely on a cab. I bike drunk because I know that at 2 in the morning I can't rely on a cab. The taxi industry says that there are plenty of cabs except at peak times. That's like saying in a restaurant that you have plenty of food except at dinner. If you can't provide the service when people need it, you aren't doing your job. The taxi industry also says that a flood of people entering the industry will drive down wages, and I think that's a real concern. However, I would think more about what that means. If there is a flood of people trying to join the industry, that means we have a flood of people in Portland who are being kept in worse jobs or in no jobs by city regulation. I think some of those people are here tonight. And by trying to avoid a race to the bottom, we're just holding those people underwater. Commissioner Fritz, I know that you're concerned with local business owners and local workers more so than with international companies, and I think that's right. But I hope that you're concerned with all of us, whether or not just us who already have jobs in the current taxi industry, but all of us whose livelihoods are affected by transportation in Portland. I don't know what the best possible set of regulations is. I do know that in the years I've lived in Portland, I've seen the existing cab companies for years, if not decades, try to maintain the status quo of inadequate service. And I'm excited and hopeful to see the city finally moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, folks. All right, next three, please.
Next three are Stephen Lovejoy, Noah Ernst, I believe is the last name, and Erica Jones. And they'll be followed by Linda Rabb, Gail Scott, and David Gibson.
Welcome. Good evening.
My name is Steve Lovejoy. I've been a radio cab driver for almost 6 years. Everybody that went before me covered a lot of what I was going to talk about, so I'm not going to waste your time being redundant here. I have an issue with the 120-day period that we're going on, specifically the background checks. Clearly, if we look online, you can see that Uber's background checks, their third-party background checks, have issues. If you're applying for a background check online, how can we verify who you are? I could apply for a background check and say I was Jim Morrison. I mean, there's no way of telling who you are. The district attorney of San Francisco said if you can't verify who you're doing the background check on, the background check is worthless. So we're going to run a 120-day program with a bunch of people that secondhand and shoddy background checks. It just doesn't seem fair. If you look at all the cities and all these problems have come up with Uber, with the sexual assaults and the assaults, and the list goes on and on. I don't want to waste your time. But the one common theme I think that we're seeing here is this, these are all jurisdictions that Uber is already operating in, either legally or illegally. So I have to ask you, how big of a sample size do we need to realize that this third-party thing is not, it's just a way of them getting drivers through so they can keep them on the road? It is my opinion that it's incredibly foolish that if we would let a company come in here and monitor their own background checks when it's the same company that barged right in the doors of Portland. It's a company that openly breaks the law in cities all over the world. It's a company that Mr. Novick once upon a time referred to that he said that he thought of the Third Reich every time he heard their name. And now we're just going to open them with open arms and let their third-party background checks be sufficient? What happens if in this 120-day incubation period, one of our citizens is assaulted or raped by a TNC driver. How are we going to explain that? I think that they should be required to go through the same background checks that the cab drivers have been going through for decades. It definitely would weed it out. In addition, real quick, I've never spoken to this before, so I'd like just an extra 40 seconds. Okay. I moved to Portland 21 years ago, and on the second day that I lived here, I knew that this is where I would spend the rest of my life. It was that easy. And I've, in that 21 years, have loved and embraced Portland to my core. I have been a big fan of you, Mr. Hales, in your planning and your streetcar. I shook your hand at the opening of the streetcar many years ago. And I find it very disturbing that now that the air in Portland has changed and you're willing to risk the incomes of thousands of drivers and their families, all based on kowtowing to a big bully company from San Francisco. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Noah Ernst. I'm a superintendent at Radio Cab Company, and I drove for Radio Cab for a couple of years at night. And I just want to say, if Portland is indeed the city that works, let's get this right the first time. Let's not be rushed and get it wrong. The genie really will never go back in the bottle, and if we don't have the time now to do it right, when will we have the time to do it over? We don't need a 120-day trial period. We have had the ability to learn from other jurisdictions for years. The only purpose a 120-day trial period will serve is to allow Uber and Lyft to do whatever they want. That's it. We're not going to learn anything new. What could we learn that we cannot learn from 180 other cities in the United States and around the world? Is Portland really that different? We have learned from other jurisdictions what works and what doesn't. We have learned that once Uber starts operating, municipalities are virtually powerless to get them to stop and powerless to get them to comply with regulations, even that they have agreed to. And the lawsuits over data sharing in Boston and New York are evidence of that. We have learned if Uber doesn't like regulations, it just doesn't follow them. And that's true in of their drivers and of the company. And that's demonstrated by when we had a news crew ride along yesterday. An Uber driver pulled up in front of them with the Uber sticker on his car and his Uber bottled water and picked up a passenger in Portland right in front of a news crew. They don't follow regulations they don't believe in and they don't care for. They don't listen to regulations imposed by cities. And who do we? Where can we look to know that that's true? Portland.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Go ahead, please.
Hello. My name is Erica Jones. Thanks, Noah. And I'm a proud driver for Radio Cab Company. I've been with radio for about 5 years. I worked a night shift. I'm here to talk about visibility of vehicles. You know, radio cab vehicles are black and white, radio cab splattered down the side, Broadway are yellow, Broadway and black splat down the side. What we've learned is about 90% of all complaints registered against taxis come from non-riding public because we're visible. You know, if we make a silly move on the street, someone gets on the phone, calls it in. And this is possible because the public can identify the taxis by their exterior vehicle markings. Uber vehicles do not have any exterior markings, except for a small thing in the window that you can buy online for $5.95 from Amazon, because I looked it up this morning. Let's turn the page. Colorado. Colorado Public Utilities Commission says that all Uber vehicles or TNCs will have visible markings on the outside. If they don't, it's $1,000 fine. On the, you know, it's not negotiable. It's $1,000. They need to be visible. They operate in cities unmarked. Let's take Madrid, Spain, for instance.
Okay. In Madrid, once you wrap up, because again, we're trying to get more people in.
I know. We're not succeeding. But here's the deal: I'm a citizen, and I'm allowed to have my say, and I'm going to have my say. In Madrid, they are still operating illegally, despite the city telling them that they cannot. If an Uber driver is caught in Madrid, his car is forfeited and sold at public auction. The driver is then fined $22,500. In short, I'll wrap up. These are the points that we should make today. Uber is intentionally deceptive. Uber is non-compliant. And Uber has a continued global history of bad business practices. Please make Uber and all of the TNCs follow the rules in Portland that the rest of us have to follow. And Mr. Novick, just for you, the shopping deal. Everything you buy from the shop in the way of food is regulated by the USDA. Every time that you go to a restaurant, your server and your cook has to have a food handler's card. That's regulated by the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. Next three.
Arlinda Rabb, Gail Scott, and David Gibson. And they will be followed by Tyler Hayes, Bert Fox, and Delilah Jones. This is Linda, Gail, and David. Let's go ahead and go with Tyler Hayes, if you're here.
Okay. Let's go with these two and then call someone.
Bert Fox, if you're here, come on up.
Okay, I'm Linda Robb, and I don't really have a dog in this fight. Well, yeah, I guess I do. The dog in my fight is you, the city of Portland, and all the people in this room. I mean, when was the last time you guys looked at this panel up there? They've got one panel from when it was called The Clearing, back when Overton and Stark were here. And then you have another panel back in 1852, I think, was the first one. That's when Mr. Saltzman's family got here, about 10 years before mine in 1862. And then there's a picture of Portland when his family and my family arrived. And then we have another picture of Portland as it is now. And I really don't want to see a fourth panel up there that says, the city of Portland, a subsidiary of Uber. Uber is not going to bring anything to this town. They're not going to sponsor the Rose Festival. They're not going to put a float in the Rose Festival. I think it was Radio Cab had a float in the festival one year. They sponsored a float. They also have a turkey project, I believe, to give food boxes to the people that don't have food right around Christmas time. Uber's not going to do that. They don't want to be part of the fabric of this town. Look at all the other big... I'm not against corporations by any means. I mean, look at Alaska Airlines and what they've done for the Timbers. Okay, you can't knock that. But look at the Trailblazers and the Moda Center and Providence, Alaska Airlines, Southwest Airlines was doing the Rose Festival for a while, PGE was doing Starlight Parade. Uber's not going to do that. All they want to do is come into Portland, get their 20% profit from people that work hard and probably apparently aren't going to be insured, and be unaccountable. That's not what I want in my city. That's not what we should want in our city. We're better than that. This is Portland. I mean, I've had a lot of opportunities to leave over the last 150 so years. I'm sure Mr. Saltzman's family did too. But we always come home because this is Portland. This is the city I love.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
Hi, my name is Bert Fox. I've been driving taxi for 35 years, and I've never been in an accident. And I would also like to say... about the lady up here who was blind, I have never once, ever heard of a cab driver overcharging a blind person. It does not happen. Okay. Many years ago, I heard Earl Blumenauer speak of the importance of livability in Portland. He said one way, as we as individuals, collectives, community, can promote livability is for us to buy local and keep local money circulating. He used Walmart as a bad example. As a bad idea, saying, why should we be sending our money to Arkansas? We could use it here. Early on, Uber was compared to Airbnb, but a better comparison is Walmart. Low-paying jobs without benefits, the practice of undercutting prices so local stores go out of business and profits flow to the richest people in the world. Why should we choose a $40 billion company to bully their way into our city and write the rules? Even if Uber does agree to require the drivers to have business license and pay their taxes, our taxi drivers are required to pay. There is no reason to believe this will happen. It's been proved, or prove it has happened. These bullies have a catch-us-if-you-can mentality backed by $40 billion of swagger, lobbyists, and a mean of hiding whatever they choose. Public safety is a key component to livability. Why should we allow our citizens and vital tourist industry to be at the mercy of an entity that we have no reason to trust? I'll bring up the Houston thing again because it's been brought up a number of times. A Houston man had just been released, 14 years in prison, was hired as an Uber driver, and passed their background check. He raped a woman pasture in three orifices, which picked up by the police and immediately confessed. Career criminals do not confess to anything. Maybe he thought going back to prison was better than driving for Uber.
Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and Commission. My name is David Gibson. Quickly, you can't see very well. This is why I drive my three-year-old. I drive for Uber, and if for any reason this doesn't go well, I don't have time to wait anymore. I'm selling my house and leaving and going to Seattle because there aren't other good jobs. I don't live in Portland. I live in Dallas, but I am an Oregonian. I came here after I got out of the Marine Corps. I've been here 25 years, most of that in Portland. I like country life a little better, so I moved an hour down the road, but stayed an Oregonian. I spend my time for dinner, sports, whatever. I come to Portland and spend my money here. But I will have to leave because I can't get a $35 an hour job or $25, and Uber's something like that. And I don't want to work for the cab companies because the reputation that they claim that Uber has, they all have. I get people, I've had 1,500 people ride in my car, and they hate the cab companies. So this mudslinging, I'm not going to get into that. Quickly, the mention about us having to drive around, we don't have to drive around. We don't have to park visibly. We can park off behind commercial buildings that don't matter. We can park in a Safeway parking lot. We can park over by Greyhound. We don't have to park anywhere special because the app does it all for us. The hands-free aspect, mine has a magnet in the back. It's on the dash. As far as when a ride comes, it beeps. It's easier to answer than a phone call, and you would answer a phone call with a hands-free. It beeps. I touch it anywhere. I don't have to look at it. I can then pull over and see where the ride is and go that way, or just start the map with another one touch. You know, so it's a very simple thing already. The hands-free is, I mean, there's no such thing as 100% hands-free. I can't say, Jeeves, get the call for me. But, yes, I just hit it, and I go on. There's been several, not quite lies, but misconceptions about how Uber works. Don't need to drive around. We don't need to look for customers. The customers come to us. We just, like I said, we don't have to park on First and Main. We can park way out on Yeon. We can park, you know, wherever. We just need to be in the vicinity of the action. We don't have to be right in the middle of the action.
Well, that's helpful. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Mr. Gibson, have you asked your private insurance company if they will cover you?
I am going away from PIMCO. USAA does. As soon as my current, at the end of the month, my current PIMCO payments are done and expired, and then I'm going with USAA. They do not cover while you're on. That has to be Uber's insurance. Oh, one other quick thing I wanted to tell you. While you guys were talking about business licenses and everything, Ms. Seeger mentioned, IT's a little ahead of her. Uber already has it on there to put your business license in. You have to put your inspection in, your business license in, your driver's license in, your person. Even though your personal insurance doesn't cover, they still insist that you have it.
So, but won't accept your application unless you put all those fields required?
Correct. I have a well, the business license isn't required for everyone because not everyone works in Portland. But it's required to be on there, and then I'm sure that they're going to require that because they can activate or deactivate. If you go to Eugene right now, you cannot turn on because they've been banned from Eugene for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next three are Delilah Jones, Nona Carrusco, and Mukhtar Abdal.
Okay. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor Hales and the commissioners. My name is Delilah Jones. I was born and raised here in Portland, and I have been driving with Radio Cab as an owner-operator for the last 6.5 years. I'm proud to say it's a very good company to work for and with. And I have major reservations on specifically the insurance, as some of you as well have stated. I don't see any reason to change the regulations that exist. They've protected our citizens for decades. The regulations have evolved over the last 100 years. And even down to just the most minimal, superficial thing of signage, right? It's a paint job. It's so superficial. And yet that right there alone was the reason that three women on December 14th of 2014 in Boston in 3 hours were sexually assaulted. They called for an Uber. They were standing on the sidewalk. A car stopped. They said, "Are you my Uber?" And they said, "Yeah, hop in." And they were sexually assaulted. They weren't the Uber drivers. And that's the reason that they got into the car is because there was no signage required for Uber. The city of Chicago and Boston have recently rolled out a panic button for their passengers because of a string of rapes and assaults by Uber drivers on unsuspecting passengers. But the fact is, if you don't get into the right car, it doesn't matter. And furthermore, you know, I could run into someone on the street in my personal vehicle, and you would never know that I was working, right? And the background checks, why would we change the rules for that? My permit expires at the end of this month, my personal driver's permit. Do I have to renew it? If Uber's doesn't have to go and spend $100 to get a background check and a driving record check, then why do I?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay.
My name is Nona Carrasco, and I drive for Radio Cab. So one thing I wanted to kind of bring out today was the fact that I'm a female cab driver. I'm working in an industry that is one of the top five most dangerous occupations in the world, and I'm a female. When I became a cab driver, when I was even thinking about it, my grandmother, you know, I come from a 16-year background in social work. And my grandmother was very concerned about my safety, and she made me promise to do the research before I did this. And the thing is when I went in, you know, I went through the background check, and that's already been gone over. When I get into my cab, I get into a cab that is specifically assigned to me. I can't get into somebody else's cab, and nobody else can get into my cab. I get into my cab, and I sign in with my driver number and my password, and from there on, I go. From that point on, I am 100% insured. There's no tier thing. I'm insured from the time I get into my cab until the time I get out of my cab. I have a back-facing and front-facing cameras in my cab. I have GPS in my cab, not in my phone. If I'm an Uber driver and you're going to take me hostage, you can grab my phone, throw it out the window, and nobody's going to know where I'm at. There's no tracking system. In my cab, if I'm in trouble, I have an emergency button that's a secret button in my cab that alerts dispatch that I'm in trouble. They immediately look for me. Every cab in my fleet gets the message, find radio 65 and report location. If I'm not found, every cab in our city, every fleet will get a message to find radio cab number 65 and report location. My cab is big, black, white, lights all over the place. Everybody knows what a radio cab looks like. The cops know. Real quick, there was some weird stuff going on with my cab when it was a Crown Vic. It's now retired. It's a Scion. But I picked these people up, and for some reason the lights are they on? So I turned them off and turned them back on, and I saw that it was on. A cop did a U-turn and pulled me over. He had me get out of the cab, and he was asking me if I was okay. He thought I flashed him.
That's great. Thank you. Welcome.
Good evening, our mayor, our commissioners. So my name is Mukhtar Abdo. So I used to be a cab driver. I know the problem is they have. First, now I'm ready to buy a house in Portland. The $450 I give every week for this company or particular person to save to buy my own future in life That's 450 plus. There was a 100 something. They take us, they could kiddie for when we make a small mistake, they take from us, they fine us. Those all I want to save my kid. I have a 5 kid to save them to buy a house. Plus, we pray already long time ago that Borland, God bring to challenge company for this, who they always put down the immigrant people. They always push us. And then the problem is the cab driver, he has a 12 hours. He has to pay 450 plus the gas, plus everything. All the time he worry, plus the radio has a noisy. All this like it makes you accident. That's why when you go radio cab or Broadway, they have a more accident because of confusion. The person he was thinking, how I pay. But we have now good opportunity. I can go to school. I can buy a house. And then plus our own people, Portland people, we serve cheap. People like cheap stuff. We surfing, plus the communication. They already have my picture. I have their phone. There is not. Last time I was driving, my customer, they sit here. We don't worry, no stress. When I was driving taxi, I was worried, like, what are you going to do to me? I have a cash or something. So all the time, there is too many worries in the cash. If you don't pay 400 something, what are you going to do? How you save your kid? All that money now, we saving 80%. It coming back to us. It's not going particular. We have a small net. We fishing in the town. So there is a big guy behind me. He has a big net he putting on the top of me. So whatever I get, he took me from behind me. So, plus, now it's our future pride. Our future is Uber. Plus, like co-op companies, I know even they don't hire when you. They know your their system. They don't hire you. Plus, it's like... Now can we go back to use like...
I need you to wrap up because we're running out of time, so...
Okay. So it's like old system. This, my kid, my future, they're going to try. They like to play on the phone. So instead of this radio plus all this noisy plus the 450, I give this person like he don't work, he's sleeping in his bed. Now, most accident causing because you have a limit time, you have to run. Plus, when I work in normal work, so if I start the job, it's 8:30. If I wake up like 8:25, people driving crazy, get accident. But this one is open opportunity. Anytime you sleep, after we relax, nobody behind us. We wake up anytime. We clean ourselves. We go work. It's like a clean, professional, friendly, fair for like a cheaper. Everything, even I can't imagine what I say, like we love. Like that's why we have a green. So
thank
green
you.
Always is good. And love we have here, that means we need your vote today, our future bright. You
thank
guys
you very much.
Us.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All right, let's take the next three, please.
Next three are Suzanne Cummings, Derek Cummings, and Blake Carson. What about Karen Babayan?
Okay, let's take these two and then we'll see. Go ahead, please.
Hi, we're even married.
All right, you first.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you so much for your hard work. We brought our son tonight, and this has been his first exposure to a city council meeting, and it sounds like it's been tremendous work, and thank you so much.
Give us your name.
Suzanne Cummings.
Yes, thanks, Suzanne.
My husband and I, we own a small business on Alberta Street. We have a yoga studio. And it's a wonderful business, and we don't make much money. And we've done it for 12 years for service. And we're very involved in the community, and we need more money. We have odd hours. I teach a 5:30 a.m. class. We teach a 6:30 p.m. class. We want to serve the community. We've applied to be Lyft drivers and possibly Uber drivers. And I have to admit, I'm sure no cab drivers in this room have ever given a bad fare, but I've had some interesting cab rides, that's for sure. And I've talked to cab drivers outside that have said during this introductory trial period, they're going to see how it shakes out too. Maybe they'll be cab drivers, maybe they'll be Uber drivers, maybe they'll be Lyft drivers, because they'll see how it goes.
Hey, folks. Hey, folks.
The yoga studio game has changed. Groupon changed our game tremendously, and we had to adapt. I so respect you for trying to
look at it front end. I was very sad that Trader Joe's did not open in my neighborhood on Alberta Street. It got bogged down in details. My experience with Lyft, like someone mentioned earlier, has been tremendous. I was worried about safety. They said, never say, hi, I'm your Lyft driver. Ask for the person's name. That name should match what I see, and not with my hands. I haven't done it yet. And there's precautions in place. I don't have to drive at night. I can drive when my son's in school. I've been very impressed. I've never had a background check before. I'm excited. Times have changed. The game has changed, and we have to adapt for it. I've heard some nasty things about Uber tonight that I didn't know. So I'm hoping that your hard work is going to raise the bar for them as well. One point I do want to make is that they're so successful, this $40 billion, I wish I'd invented it, I really do. They're so successful because it's needed. They're so successful because people are using the service. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for all of your hard work. My name is Derek Cummings, and I'm married to my lovely wife, Suzanne. And thank you for all your hard work. I'm hearing a lot about leveling the playing field, and I think that that's an awesome focus. And I think the whose responsibility is it? Is it the taxi drivers to come up to Lyft or Lyft to come down? I think we need to meet somewhere in the middle. And from what I've seen, my short experience with companies like Lyft and Uber is that they're being very diligent, requiring proof of driver's license and insurance and vehicle inspections and background checks by third parties, not their own companies, but third parties. And I think that they've shown a tremendous willingness to play and seem very interested in being a part of a dialogue with the city of Portland. And I think a lot of this has to do with the fear of change. I mean, technology is swooping in. It's hard to keep up with it, how much advances are being made in technology. And I can just imagine how Ma Bell felt when Verizon came in. You know, you used to, when I was a little kid, there used to be a payphone on every street corner. And now you just pick up a phone. And the technology is scary, and I think it's very threatening to an old industry like the taxi industry, been around forever. And now there's changes coming, and it's pretty damn scary. And I'm sad that the taxi industry has to resort to bringing, I mean, obviously these are very serious allegations and things people have happened. You know, there's been rapes, there's been terrible things that have happened. But to me, that's fear being brought into the equation, and I don't think that there's really any place for that. And I'm sad to see that that's being used as this is why we shouldn't consider this forward thinking. And I hope you will consider passing this 120-day period so that we can test it and see it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And your son. So let's take the next three, please.
Okay, is Jennifer Starr here? Let's go with Amy Hall, Janet Weiser, Brian McAlvey, or McAvely?
Okay, I think you got those three.
Okay, I think someone's coming from upstairs.
What about the three of us? That's me.
First. Rock, paper, scissors? Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Whoever would like to go first?
I'll go. My name is Janet Weiser, and I wanted to say thank you, first of all, for all the hard work that you've put in. I am an Uber driver, and I've been driving since last August when they came in. I'm going to make this really quick. I did go through my background checks. I did have to submit all of my paperwork before I was authorized to drive. I did have to pass everything. I do have insurance. I'm in the process of changing over to USAA, who will be insuring rideshare drivers during those odd hours that everybody was concerned about. The insurance companies are catching up, and they are willingly writing new policies and trying to find a way to accommodate this new technology and the new drivers. I'm a mother. I have two teenagers. I have a small business of my own, and Uber has given me the ability to accommodate a better life balance with scheduling. I can drive early in the morning. I can drive late at night. It has been able to give my family the finances that we needed when my husband got laid off during a downsize in his company. I have been the only breadwinner, and I increased my driving hours and increased our bottom line. We have avoided bankruptcy and saved our home. This has been huge for me as a mother. What it brings to Portland is the ability to come down to Portland and safely play, spend our money, safely go home again to be able to do that at 2 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I really want to implore you, please give this a chance. Uber has been fabulous to me, and I am also signing on to do Lyft. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Welcome.
My name is Amy Hall, and I joined on with Uber last January, and I'm looking forward to be able to have the competition to work for Lyft and Uber. There have been a ton of questions asked, and yes, my insurance company knows, and they're fine with it. Uber did a third-party criminal background check. I hear people, they're just waving all these things like, oh, they don't do this, and they don't. And, like, the rapes and things, it just makes me feel like they're grasping at things because they're afraid. And modern technology is here to stay. Remember, all of us, I mean, our age group, we never thought, I mean, Kodak was just a household name. And the company is no more. And that's what I fear. And I've had this feeling of sadness in my heart for cab companies. But innovation comes. And so what you guys are doing are saying, let's give this a try. And you're looking at innovation and saying, let's look forward and let's give it a try. And that's what I want to ask you to do on my behalf, because I, as a single mom, have increased my income and been able to stay home more with my daughter. And that's the most important thing about me being able to tap into this business.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks. Welcome.
Thank you. Blake Carson. Since we're sharing stories, I make more than $6.22 an hour. I am the only breadwinner in my family, and I have two children as well.
Great.
Full-time cab driver, operator, owner. Having the following regulations are critical to ensuring public safety. Your social security number needs to be ran through. You need to have 24-hour, no-questions-asked insurance. You need accountability. We have these in place right now, and without these, it allows for these following events. 6-year-old Sophia Liu was in a crosswalk on New Year's Eve when an Uber employee hit and killed her. He was on the Tier 1 considered insurance. It was not covered. Uber does not cover it because it is null and void. Uber's town, or their terms and conditions, you waive your rights and you release the company from all liability, claims, damages. Pretty much, you can't do anything to them. In the case of Robert Chicas, he was assaulted by his Uber driver on his way home from work with a hammer. He had over $100,000 in hospital bills that have not been paid by Uber, since technically the app cannot assault you. Ironically, his driver did pass the background check, but Duncan Eric Burton did not. That's the man in Houston, Texas. 14 years, federal prison, cocaine charge. He would still be driving today if he wasn't in jail for allegedly assaulting a customer. So what good is deregulating an entire industry of tax-paying people? What's the next industry that's going to be deregulated because of innovations? Doctors, lawyers, electricians, teachers, bus drivers, food carts, bars, restaurants. Deregulation only causes confusion and is in no way a permanent solution to a temporary problem. As a cab driver, if you deregulate me, I will not comply. I will still charge whatever the meter says. I will continue to pay my city taxes. I will continue to get my background check done, and I will get my permit done every year, same as I have been doing for the last 7 years. I will not compromise my integrity on behalf of Uber's agenda.
We don't compromise.
Thank you very much. Take three more and then see where we stand.
Three more. We'll take Jennifer Starr, Brian Avley, McAvley, sorry, and Jim Poorman.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Starr.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Starr, and I am a proud lease driver for Radio Cab. I am grateful to have the opportunity to speak for you today. I love my job, I love the people, and I love the city of Portland. I am also the sole provider for my household. I alone must earn the monies to keep a roof over my head, nutritious food, and prescription medications for my body, health insurance, and all the other incendiaries that many people take for granted and even many more struggle to maintain. Please be assured that neither I nor the majority of my colleagues have any fear of a new transportation company entering into the Portland metro area. The concern we are faced with is the liberties and favoritism that this particular corporation is being afforded with no apparent merit. As a matter of fact, this particular corporation has numerous demerits to its name, up to and including countless lawsuits for alleged robbery, assault, and rape. Everyone in this room and the majority of adults in this country understand the unquestionable need for regulation. Every manner of business has some sort of regulations. These regulations are in place to ensure a positive transaction between the operator and the consumer, and that both are safe and satisfied with the exchange between the two. Heavy insurance coverage from the moment that a customer steps into a coffee shop or a transportation vehicle has been a non-negotiable regulation for many decades. I understand the most recent solution to be announced to the public is deregulation. I cannot comprehend why this idea is even being entertained as a good idea. The idea of deregulating multiple transportation companies that have existed in Portland from just a few years to 40 plus years is unbelievably counterintuitive. The logistics required to deregulate existing private for hire transportation company rates is an enormous undertaking. With the population explosion of Portland and the increased demand for transportation services, we do in fact welcome with open arms other transportation companies into our eternally expanding market. However, a level playing field is the only way to let the American dream live on. Please keep in mind as you cast your votes today, the majority of the private for hire transportation workers you may be placing at risk of losing their livelihood, some the sole provider for their households, are actual voters, taxpayers, and longtime residents of this beautiful city. We are Portlanders. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Brian McCauley. First thing I kind of want to point out is there's been a lot of, like, attacking of a certain company rather than the whole movement of, like, the, you know, drivers for hire or whatever it has been. But one thing I see is this is just really a revolutionary, or, like, a revolution of an already existing industry. Just an improvement moving along with the technology and such. Like, personally for me, I'm a musician and an actor, and I've been working retail and doing customer service since I was 16, 25 now, 9 years, pushing on 10. And I just kind of see something as, like, where I can kind of control my own schedule so I can actually get to auditions, get to shows, get to doing those other things that can actually then benefit the economy more, spend my money out with local businesses, and then maybe discover some other things by meeting other people, what else is going on in the city, learn more and see more of the city and suggest more, make more friends, make more connection, be more of a community.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, Jim Portman. Thank you, Commissioners. I just want to mention something that I have not heard as part of this discussion at all so far, which is the long-term effect on Portland's economy of the transportation network companies, specifically Uber, who 1 year ago announced that they intend to replace all their drivers with autonomous self-driving vehicles as soon as they feasibly can. 2 months ago, they announced a multi-hundred-million-dollar investment in a robotics center they're opening in Pittsburgh. They hired pretty much everyone from the robotics department at Carnegie Mellon University, and they are moving forward as quickly as they can to replace all their drivers with autonomous drone taxis. Now, currently, this industry we're talking about, whether you drive for a cab company or for one of these TNCs, brings money into Portland's economy from visitors and recirculates it among locals. When that goes through, all of that money will go into the hands of a small number of very wealthy people in Wall Street and Silicon Valley. Thank you. That's all.
So I think before we move forward, there were a couple people that were called but didn't make it down in time. Is that right?
I think everybody got came in.
And there's some folks whose names were called who didn't get a chance to come up.
Karen Babayan was called, did not come.
Okay. Because I promised the council that we would move to deliberations at 8, and I think we should do that, although I know there's still some folks that would like to speak, but you were called?
Is Rafiq Fouad on that list?
Not called.
Don't people have a right to speak if they can?
It depends on the council's willingness to stay. So,
ready to deliberate.
I think we're ready to deliberate. So, folks, I appreciate everyone coming. We can't always accommodate everyone. So we're going to call some folks back up. For questions.